Evening. This evening, Jim, Brother Jim here, has asked that we read from Colossians, the first chapter, verses 1 through 23, and then a couple verses in Philippians chapter 1, or Philippians 4, 6, and 7. So we're going to start with Colossians 1, verses 1 through 23. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timotheus, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Colossae, grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Since we heard of your faith in Jesus Christ, and of the love which ye have to all the saints, for the faith which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the world of the truth of the gospel, which is come unto you, as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit, as it does also in you, since the day ye heard of it, and knew the grace of God in truth. And as ye also learned of Euphrates, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities, or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleases the Father that in him should all fullness dwell, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him do to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. If ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, wherefore I, Paul, am made a minister. Now turning back to Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ. With the thoughts of these scriptures on our minds, let's kneel for prayer.
Down through the years, I've enjoyed wonderful message and comfort received through hymns. I don't sing too much anymore because my range is very limited, but I enjoy following along very closely and reading the message of the words. It stirs my heart to realize that in many of them hymns, many, many long years ago, somebody most likely sat at a desk or took a, as Stuart Hamlin says when he wrote This Old House, he was on an elk hunting trip and come upon an old cabin that was vacant and deserted. And he realized the more he meditated upon that somebody lived here. There was curtains flopping out through the open windows. There was a little red express wagon under the porch, and he took a brown paper bag that he had his lunch in out of his knapsack and sat down on the porch of that dilapidated old house and wrote the words of this old house. So I like to reflect upon things like that. What was going through the minds of these people when they wrote these beautiful messages that we sing? Sometimes I'll hear other songs that speak to me and stir my thoughts, and I want to lay a word of caution before us. I enjoy, these are gifted musicians, they're very talented. Enjoy the songs, and I'm not passing judgment. Some of them are very sincere. But enjoy the songs and the message, but don't emulate their lives. Some of them leave something to be desired. But one such song a few years ago touched my heart and still does to this day. And I want to share some thoughts beginning here from that with you. Listen closely, especially in the chorus of this song as I read the first verse. Heard about these kids walking on a train track. 40 tons of steel bearing down on them, and they just turned their backs. Channel 5 asked the one who survived, "Son, why'd you do such a thing?" No reply, but his eyes cried, "Peace. I just need some peace. If I have to, I'll do anything. Don't need your love or your sympathy, but I cannot go on living without peace." We're going to hear a lot about peace in the next month, and rightly so. The angel's message was peace on earth, goodwill to men. We have a great opportunity in this season. Pay attention to talking eyes. Keep that, if you don't remember anything else I share tonight, as we desire to share the peace that passeth all understanding. That's the message. It was taken from Philippians 4, 6 and 7. Pay attention to crying and speaking eyes. Those eyes speak a message. Let's just reflect upon that message. Their eyes cried. This is talking about a suicide pact. You realize several years ago it was realized that in some of the school districts around here, some of the kids had, a few of them had agreed to a suicide pact. And I believe one of them young couples was found close to Fred Miller's farm and had gassed himself in an automobile. I'm not sure about that. But some of these young peoples give themselves to a suicide pact. That's what this is talking about. Suicide touches many still living. And here's the sad part, in a hurtful way. Our society has the impression that most all those that commit suicide are now better off. They're the ones. They're all hurting. And most of them, I used to think almost all of them are in hell. I'm not real sure about that anymore, but I would say most of them, and maybe all of them, in light of what Brother Ken shared with us last Sunday, the sanctity of life. But Brother John Knapp shared with me, as all of you are aware, suicide occurred in that family. The ones that are really hurt are the ones left living. The hurt that goes with those that still remain. And also, Brother John shared with me, and I think many of you would agree, maybe all of you, and I do, it's a selfish, self-centered act. They're only thinking of themselves. If only they knew and realized the hurt. That may be one way to approach them, to get through to them the hurt of their loved ones, if they would go through with this. physical pain, emotional distress can be almost unbearable. Have any of you ever dealt with a pain that's almost unbearable? There isn't a mother sitting in the pews tonight that can't say, no, I haven't. They have. But what about us, man? If you've ever had kidney stones, I'll guarantee you, you've dealt with a pain that's almost unbearable. I had one woman tell me that she would rather give birth than have a kidney stone. She experienced both of them. But this is the pain. Their eyes cried. Pay attention to crying eyes. We have a peace that passeth all understanding that maybe we can get through to them. Verse 2. I know a man who sits and stares at his kitchen cabinet door. He hides a whiskey bottle he hasn't touched since, well, this is day 4. He told his wife this time he would try as she was just about to leave. No reply, but her eyes cried, peace. I just need some peace. If I have to, I'll do anything. Don't need your love or your sympathy, but I cannot go on living without peace. I went through something like that. I didn't go through it, but I tried to help a family that was experiencing what I just read. A couple started coming. First of all, I want to say it really troubles and hurts me. The people that make light of drunkenness and going out thinking that's fun. Carol's daddy used to sit down with the men at lunch at where he worked, some of them laughing and carrying on about how drunk they got this weekend. He'd just shake his head and look at him. He said, you guys amaze me. He said, I spend that kind of money to get well, and you spend that kind of money to go out and get sick. And then you sit around and try to brag and make light of it. It bothers me when I hear that. Another thing, will you turn with me to Proverbs 23 to cast some light on what's there, the warning. Proverbs 23, verses 29 to 35. Who hath woe, who hath sorrow, who hath contentions, who hath babbling, who hath wounds without cause? Who hath redness of eyes? They that tarry long at the wine, they that go to seek mixed wine. Look not thou upon the wine when it is red, when it giveth his color in the cup, when it moveth itself aright. At the last it biteth like a serpent and stingeth like an adder. Thine eyes shall behold strange women, and thine heart shall utter perverse things. In other words, you're going to do things you're going to regret later on. Yea, thou shalt be as he that lieth down in the midst of the sea, or as he that lieth upon the top of a mast. They have stricken me, shalt thou say, and I was not sick. They have beaten me, and I felt it not. When shall I awake? I will seek it again. I want to share this incident that occurred with me. Exactly what happened here. There was a couple that started coming to Belvedere. They didn't come very long. But he was a trucker, I found out. We had a common ground, and we talked about things. And one Sunday, Carol and I invited them along home for Sunday dinner, and they refused. But apparently it struck up some confidence in our family, or maybe me as a minister. So anyway, one night I got a call from his wife, and she said, Brother Hoover, could you go down? She got out of the house. She said, could you go down and try to help Don? That's all I'm going to share. His name was Don. I still remember their name. So I went down. The place wasn't too far from our place. I looked up some scriptures that I thought might be applicable. And I put my plain suit on, and I went down. I went to the back door, and I could see him in there. And I rapped, and I rapped, and I rapped. And finally, he came to the door. And when he did, apparently he knew someone where they used to live named Larry Hoover. But he could barely stand up. And he opened the door. "Jim, Larry Hoover, come on in," he said. And I went in that. He sat on a kitchen chair and I sat across. I realized instantly those scriptures that I looked up weren't going to register. They weren't going to help in this occasion at that present time. So we sat for hours and I tried to talk. He had a big burn on his arm and the stove was a mess where he had tried to make himself an egg or something and burned himself. I was concerned about that. And I couldn't get him convinced. I wanted to take him to the emergency room. And I tried to talk and talk and talk. All of a sudden, he just like a limp noodle, boom, he fell over on the kitchen floor. I thought he hurt himself. And I helped him back up and got him back on the chair. And I finally did get him into the car. He realized I wanted to get help for his burn to begin with. And I am so glad I reached across in front of him and locked the door on his side, because when we were going out Richland Avenue, all of a sudden he kind of sat up and where are we going? And he reached for the door. He was going to get out of the car while I was driving. This is a sorry state. And you know, we worked with that man. Here's the amazing part. It was Friday night, and I called trying to get him in a house. They call them, I think, halfway houses. Me and some people that I've gotten contact with tried to find a bed for him. There was no room available in such facilities in the whole city of York. There was no room available in such facilities in the whole city of Harrisburg, and there was no room available in any such facility that we were looking for in the city of Lancaster. Payday, Friday night. Let's go have a blast. It's sickening. It's sorry. It's sad. But her eyes cried, "I just need some peace." I found out, she told me later on, and I lost contact with them within a year, but I found out later on that there's always a loaded deer rifle in the living room under the sofa. She said when they lived in another city down south, he got in one of these states one night, and she feared for her life. Their stairway had a landing on, where you went so many to the landing and then went to the rest. She said, when I hit that landing and made the turn to go up the second set of stairs, he fired with a loaded pistol and the bullet hole was still in the wall of that home till the day they left. He fired with a loaded pistol and it didn't go off. It didn't go off. The next day the pistol was in the mail going back to the maker to be fixed. Her eyes cried. And you know, here's the sad part. If and when you work in these situations, they will try to tie their healing or their overcoming to the situation that they feel has caused the problem. And most of the time, it's not their fault. Here was his answer. If she'll only move back in with me, I'll try. I'll be better. She said, "Brother Hoover, I've heard that so many times. You don't understand." Well, I think I did. But she was just about at the end of not speaking suicidally, just a statement that we use at the end of her rope. Her eyes cried. Look again at Proverbs 23. Verses 17 to 20. "Let not thine heart envy sinners, but be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long. For surely there is an end, and thine expectation shall not be cut off. Hear thou, my son, and be wise. and guide thine heart in the way. Be not among winebibbers, among riotous eaters of flesh. I'm so thankful for the fellowship that we have available to us. And finally, I have a friend who's looking for God. A few good self-help books is as far as she's gotten. Well, we know the book where she'll find the answers. We need to say to them, look to the book, and we need to try to be of assistance in all matters of getting the answers from the book, the Bible, God's Word. Now let's just take a few brief moments and look at the scriptures that Brother Dustin read. Many of you know that Philippians 6 and 7 has become one of my favorite scriptures, but here in Colossians, we'll begin at verse 7. Epaphras has informed Paul concerning what's going on at Colossae. Epaphras has directed through, along with Paul, the people at Colossae to look to the book. And Paul is receiving notice from Epaphras that there's good work going on there. And then in verse 9 he says, for this cause, for the message that Epaphras has sent me, for this cause, we also, since the day we heard of it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Now that verse tells me that Bible knowledge is good, but we need to be aware of a warning. It's not good if it's not applied. You might know someone like that, that knows all kind of Bible verses and things, but are they living it? So that's what I hear Paul saying here in the end, that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and understanding. So how do you get that wisdom and understanding when you were a child and you started? My wife was just sharing with me recently that one of the grandchildren is beginning multiplication table. Well, how did you learn the multiplication table? Repetition, repetition, repetition. Memorized it. And as I'll point out later on, that's why Philippians 4, 6, and 7 has become so precious to me. 1 Corinthians 10, 13 has become so precious to me. And other scriptures, I don't have many of them memorized. But the ones that do, what a help. Not just head knowledge, but heart knowledge as well. And then verse 11, here's what it does. Strengthen with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness. Three tremendous qualities, characteristics, patience, longsuffering, very similar, and joyfulness. I find occasion here to bring something out that just occurred to me a few weeks ago. I'm 71 years old, and I've just come to the realization of this. I've struggled with patience a long time. You know what the answer to patience is? Eternal focus. If you have eternal focus, patience will fall right into place. You won't get undisturbed and all upset and riled about things that are going on concerning this world because you've got eternal focus. And it will help you to with your struggles that you might have and I might have with patience. Think about it. Think about it. Eternal focus. Moving on. Verse 12, giving thanks unto the Father which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness. This is power. And the amazing part is, as you read on here, you find out just how much power. The power behind it that's available to us, because it tells us that He created everything around us. You look into the starry hosts, the boy and I, my son and I went to load a load of live turkeys last night up on, close to McConnellsburg. And I didn't realize, you know, sometimes you gotta stop and smell the roses. And Kevin looked up and he said, "Wow, this is amazing." He said, "I believe you can see the Milky Way with your naked eye." I know a place where you can, Cherry Springs, Pennsylvania. The darkest spot east of the Mississippi River. It's amazing. If you ever get to Cherry Springs, Potter County, and look up into the night sky on a clear night, I never knew there was so many stars. I used to often wonder about the scripture where it says, as numerous as the sand of the sea. Well, we know there's a lot of kernels of sand in the sea on the seashore. But I used to kind of wonder about that one, the stars in the sky. But they're there. I'll guarantee you, they're there. So in the intervening verses, we need to move on here. It mentions Him as being the firstborn, 19, verse 90, and it pleased the Father that in Him should all fullness dwell. And then verse 20 is the one that I really want to hone in on. And have, there it is, the mess, don't forget, we're talking about peace. And having made peace through the blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile all things unto Him. By Him, I say, whether they be in things in earth or things in heaven, or I don't care where. If we look to Him for peace, because He knows every jot and tittle, He knows every hair on my head, He can number the stars, He named them, don't matter where, that the peace that passeth all understanding is available. Let's go to Philippians 4, 6 and 7. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Here's why, and I think I shared this with you before, but here's why. You all know the major surgery I experienced, and many of you are aware of the anxieties that go with things like this. And I was laying in bed one night, couldn't sleep, and I knew there was a scripture. The NIV begins that scripture with, "Don't worry about anything." So I got my concordance, and I looked it up, and I memorized it right there, laying in my bed. And the reason I remember it, one thing with me is, if I memorize a scripture that I know will help me, I remember it. And I've remembered it. And I laid my head upon my pillow, and I went to sleep in less than an hour, I think. And I got up the next morning and headed for the hospital, Carol. I remember when the seriousness, when the doctor told me what he had to do to me, I looked to my wife and I said, "Carol, are you afraid?" "No," she said. She has her quiet witness, believe me. She does. Appreciate her so much. She's a treasure, as I think we all feel about our wives. So that's why this scripture means so much to me. The peace that passeth all understanding. That causes me to think of another song. I want to close with this and a few other comments. And many of you know this song. But before I do, I just didn't finish with the final words. And this is what we need to do. This is where that fellowship that we talk about and what's talked about this morning, it means so much. Listen to the final words of this song that I opened with. Say a prayer tonight for that desperate child. Say a prayer tonight for that man and his wife.
Say a prayer for the hurting, searching for the one thing they all need is. And if you don't know what to say, look up to heaven's face and pray peace. And if you don't know what to say, look up to heaven's face and pray peace. So I want to challenge us. Be attentive to the crying eyes. We have a message of peace that passeth all understanding. And finally, people need the Lord. Tells us the same thing. Every day they pass me by. I can see it in their eyes. Empty people filled with care, headed who knows where. On they go through private pain, living fear to fear. Laughter hides the silent cries. Only Jesus hears. People need the Lord. People need the Lord. At the end of broken dreams, he's the open door. People need the Lord. People need the Lord. When will we realize that people need the Lord? We are called to be his light, to a world where wrong seems right. What could be too great a cost for sharing life with one who's lost? Through his love, our hearts can feel all the grief they bear. They must hear the words of life only we can share. And then the author changed one line of the chorus. People need the Lord. People need the Lord. At the end of broken dreams, he's the open door. People need the Lord. People need the Lord. When will we realize that we must give our lives for people need the Lord? I want to read again the final words of that song, peace. Say a prayer tonight for that desperate child. Say a prayer tonight for that man and his wife. Say a prayer for the hurting, searching, for the one thing they all need is peace. If you don't know what to say, and here it is, I want to conclude with this. Look up to heaven's face. And John chapter 14, verse 27, we all know the beginning. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. So on. But here it is, verse 24, verse 27, John 14, 27. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. That's heaven's face. That's Jesus. God bless you.
Brother Jim was talking about peace. I saw a good example of that last week when I went to the hospital to visit Brother Markle Martin, who was dying of cancer. And I walked in the room, the hospital room there, Hanover Hospital. A big smile came on his face, shook hands with him. He was so positive and upbeat about the visit, I presume. I was absolutely amazed. And I was thinking, how could a person close to death be so positive in his attitude and his comments? And you know, the only answer is the peace Brother Jim was talking about, the peace that Brother Markle had with God. He said, I'm going home today to die. He didn't say to die, he said to hospice care, but that's really what he meant. And as most of us know, he died this past week, just a few days after I made that visit. I'm glad I went there. But it was a good example of true peace with God. And think about it. How many people really have that true peace? There are a lot of people that still need salvation and wouldn't have the peace that Brother Markle had when it came to meet the Lord. So we can be thankful for that. I'd like to thank you for your prayers for my wife. She is getting better. She's almost completely healed. And I appreciate that. And I'd also like to thank you for your cards of sympathy and condolences, phone calls, visits to the viewing for the death of my stepfather the other week, the past week. Appreciate that as well. Yes, he was my stepfather, but more than that, he was really the only father I had. And I appreciate the fact that you were concerned. Well, we have a number of prayer requests, and I perhaps missed a few of them, but I'm sure you will remember what I missed. Let's kneel as we come before the Lord in prayer.